From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one, Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. How's everybody doing out there? Okay, you can all stop sending me your notes saying you got my e-blast yesterday. Finally figured out that problem. Can't believe that was happening for 3 weeks, but hey, it is a Mercury retrograde. Anyway, lots of stuff going on in the news, and I've gotten a lot of good compliments on the show. I think Con Hallinan did a great job yesterday. So I'm going to get on with the news in two stories that seem to go hand in hand. Is Sheriff Joe Arpaio coming out basically at the same time he's facing his federal charges, saying that Obama's birth certificate is fake. So I say yawn big time. And is there any certificate showing that Sheriff Joe is actually human? That's another question. Where's his birth certificate? Because I think he was hatched. Anyway, investigators for the Arizona Sheriff's Volunteer Posse have declared Barack Obama's birth certificate definitely fraudulent. Members of Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio's posse said in March there was probable cause that Obama's long-form birth certificate, released by the White House in April of 2011, was a computer-generated forgery. Now he says investigators are positive that it's fraudulent. Mike Zullo, the posse's chief investigator, posse, 2012, said numeric codes on certain parts of the birth certificate indicate those parts weren't filled out, yet those sections asking for the race of Obama's father and his field of work or study were completed. Gee, isn't this something we figured out on the internet how many years ago? 3, 2, 1. Zullo said investigators previously didn't know the meaning of codes, but they were explained by a 95-year-old former state worker who signed the president's birth certificate. Zullo said a writer who published a book about Obama's birth certificate and was aiding investigators let him listen in on an interview he conducted of the former state worker. The Obama campaign declined to comment on Arpaio's allegations. The Arizona Democratic Party said Arpaio's investigation is intended to draw attention away from problems within his own agency, I agree, such as hundreds of sex crime cases that the sheriff's office failed to adequately investigate over a three-year period. So, New York Times, Sheriff Joe goes on trial. 5 years after he started crime suppression sweeps that terrorized Latino neighborhoods across Maricopa County, Sheriff Joe Arpaio is finally having to explain himself, and not to TV crews or fawning hosts on Fox News, but before a federal judge. The trial in Melendrez versus Arpaio, a class action civil rights lawsuit, is starting today in federal district court in Phoenix. The plaintiffs, represented by the ACLU and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, accused the sheriff of waging an all-out unlawful campaign of discrimination and harassment against Latinos and those who look like them. They say the sheriff and his deputies, aided by ad hoc civilian posses, anonymous phone tipsters, even motorcycle gangs, made illegal stops, searches, and arrested, staged wrongful neighborhood and workplace raids, and provoked widespread fear among citizens, legal residents, and undocumented immigrants alike. So I hope he ends up in Tent City. Okay, here's a big security law loophole. You may be on the no-fly list if you're a terrorist or not, or just an American, but that won't stop you from learning how to fly your own plane. Yep, a loophole found. All right, this off the Associated Press. U.S. citizens who are on the government's list of people banned from flying because they're considered terror threats and not prevented from learning how to fly in schools around the country, just like on 9/11, according to government regulation. Such a person may have to drive across the country to learn how to fly a plane because they'd likely be stopped from boarding a commercial airliner. But the security checks put in place after 9/11 won't keep that person from receiving pilot training any more than it did before 9/11. The security loophole was raised during a hearing Wednesday to examine the Homeland Security's department programs to screen foreigners who want to attend flight schools in the U.S. Some of the 9/11 hijackers were able to learn to fly in the U.S. while living in the country illegally. Well, they were brought in under the carpet with full knowledge. The government put in several more layers of security after the attacks, and foreigners now receive criminal background checks and are screened against terror watch lists before they're allowed to begin training. U.S. citizens, however, are not subject to the same scrutiny, but they will be soon. That's what that's all about. Okay, an explosion inside a protected area at a U.S. nuclear power plant near Philadelphia this morning, and a local official said it's no impact on public health. According to Frank Custer, communications director with Montgomery County, which is 25 miles from Philadelphia, the county received an email from Exelon, parent company of the Limerick nuclear power plant, stating that an explosion had occurred, causing the unusual event in Unit 1. But the event didn't pose any threat to the public. I wonder if they said that in Fukushima. Custer said the notice reported the unusual event has been terminated. So don't breathe, Pennsylvania. Don't breathe. Okay, got this from one of my listeners off a site called libertyfight.com, but you can check it out on the government's website if you want to read the whole bill. House passes Israeli loyalty bill by a voice vote, and it's now awaiting Obama's signature. Affirming some minor changes added by the U.S. Senate, the House has passed the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012. Unlike when the House passed the bill with a recorded roll call vote on May 9th, the reps took a lead from the Senate and suspended the rules and passed the bill with a voice vote July 17th. They did, however, conduct 32 minutes of official debate, if you want to call a unanimous chorus of support debate. Littering the debate in the House were references to anti-Semitism, hate against Israel, Holocaust denial, the dire threat of a nuclear Iran, and the oft-repeated fallacy that Iran's president stated he wanted to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Well, Israel, by the way, is wiping Palestine off the face of the earth. All the reps who spoke on record were in support of the bill, comprising a chorus outlining the special bond between the U.S. and its great friend and ally, Israel. Why do they hate us? The bill begins, "It is the policy of the United States to reaffirm our unwavering commitment to the security of the state of Israel as a Jewish state," prompting many to question whether the bill violates the First Amendment, which prohibits establishment of a religion. It also provides Israel with $9 billion of our taxpaying bucks in loan guarantees, hundreds of millions of dollars in military equipment, and offers the Air Force of Israel additional training and exercise opportunities in the United States to compensate for Israel's limited airspace. Ron Paul, who gave a speech against the bill before it passed May 9th, did not repeat his objections prior to this new vote. The best way to find information on the bill, go to the official website, thomas.loc.gov, and type in the bill name or number yourself. You can type it in, United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, or S.2165. Because it only allows the search to remain for half an hour and the website is difficult to navigate, I'm going to post a link here to libertyfight.com where they actually put the entire transcript on one easy-to-read page. So read it and weep. And why do they hate us, and why will they continue to hate us? Okay, if you're over 50, old age isn't the only thing you got to worry about. A new report from AARP finds that foreclosure rates for people over 75 grew eightfold from 2007 to 2011, and that the risk of serious delinquency on mortgages has grown fastest for people over 50. And I guess that's how they get rid of the old. First they make you homeless, and then they'll give you no health insurance, or they'll just say, time to die. Okay, let's get over to Ann Romney, who didn't know she was rich, and what she has to say about people demanding her husband's tax returns, which I understand when John McCain took a look at them, he decided to have Sarah Palin run as vice president instead of Romney. And Romney Thursday insisted that she and her husband would not be giving voters any more information about their tax returns because they had, listen how she says this, given all you people need to know. So we're you people. You know, you should really look at where Mitt has led his life and where he's been financially, she said. He's a very generous person. We give 10% of our income to our church every year. Hello, they're supposed to. They have to. Do you think that's the kind of person who's trying to hide things or do things? Well, I think all his money hidden out of the country is part of that reason, Ann Romney. She says he's so good about it. Then when he was governor of Massachusetts, he didn't take a salary for 4 years. I'll give him a sainted medal. She says, we've given all you people need to know and understand about our financial situation and how we live our life. Well, live your life anywhere but the White House. All right, let's get over to D.C. The House Judiciary Committee voted 18-14 Wednesday to advance a bill that would ban abortions in the District of Columbia after 20 weeks. The ban includes no exception for the health of the woman. So a living mother has to die as long as the baby comes out, whether it's alive or dead. Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood of America, said this bill is deeply troubling and dangerous. She said, ultimately, decisions about whether to choose adoption, end a pregnancy, or raise a child must be left to a woman, her family, and her faith with the counsel of her doctor and health care provider. The lack of exception for women's health is one of the reasons the National Women's Law Center believes the bill has little chance of advancing further. Not only is it unlikely to pass in the Senate or be signed by pro-choice Obama, but they believe it's clearly unconstitutional and courts would likely overturn it. So let's look at the next story, which is off Ms. Magazine. A federal judge tossed out a contraception lawsuit. Religious freedom won't be ringing for the seven states that attempted to curb access to no copay contraception. U.S. District Judge Warren Erbaum of Lincoln, Nebraska, dismissed a federal lawsuit that challenged the Affordable Care Act's HHS mandate, which requires health insurance to provide coverage of birth control, emergency contraception, and sterilization. In line with most criticisms of the ACA, the lawsuit argued that the contraception mandate violated the so-called religious liberties of American citizens. The lawsuit was filed by Nebraska Attorney General John Bruning, along with the attorney generals of six other states, Florida, Michigan, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas. Several Catholic-affiliated institutions were also listed as plaintiffs. But in his ruling, Erbaum said everything we already knew. Religious freedom is a non-issue when it comes to the ACA and its HHS mandate. Okay, bailout happening overseas. German parliament approved a Spanish bank aid, that's what they're calling it. They approved up to 100 billion euros in aid to Spanish banks to be paid by the Euro Backstop Fund, EFSF. But despite supporting the measure, the opposition in Berlin is losing its patience with Angela Merkel's Euro bailout policies. Who could blame them? Okay, let's look at the Holy of the Holy. Let's go to the nuns in Spain. Until into the 1990s, doctors and nuns in Spain allegedly stole newborn babies and sold them to couples, hoping to adopt. The vast scope of this lucrative baby-snatching network is now only coming to light as courts heed victims' calls for investigations and possible trials. Nothing like doing it in the name of the Lord. Okay, let's get over to that tour bus explosion in Bulgaria where all of a sudden, instantly, Netanyahu blamed it on Iran. Remember when they already know who it is? Yeah, they're probably behind it if you think Israel, like America, is against killing their own to serve their own purposes. Think again. Seven people, mainly Israeli tourists, died Wednesday in an explosion on a bus at the airport of a Bulgarian resort town. Authorities believe it was likely a suicide attack, while Israel immediately blamed Iran outright. The suspected bomber's identity yet to be determined. And then this is how the stories come in. First, bombing most likely carried out by suicide attacker was carrying a Michigan license. And then later the story was changed to the Bulgarian prime minister saying the Michigan license carried by the suspected bomber was fake. So believe what you will. Believe what you will. We'll see how many more times that story changes. That's another MO of them. Okay, a couple of earthquakes today. A 5.5 in Afghanistan. The Fiji region had a 5.9 yesterday. We have a full moon tonight. And this should be an interesting night. All right, let's get over to Virginia, the state. Virginia's attorney general is pushing a law that forces abortion clinics to close. Republican Attorney General Kenneth Cuccinelli refused Monday to certify regulations put forward by the Virginia Board of Health granting exceptions to existing abortion clinics from new building regulations passed by the legislature. The new regulations would otherwise have forced most, if not all, existing clinics to close. So they just changed the regulations to shut them down, which was the underlying purpose of the new law. The dispute is the new law started even before the state assembly passed it during the legislative session, stipulating that abortion clinics must adhere to the same architectural regulations as hospitals. This would have closed most of the state's 20 abortion clinics. The State Board of Health stipulated in a 7-4 vote that existing abortion clinics could be granted an exception to this new law. But Senior Assistant Attorney General Allison Teisinger said the state board had exceeded its authority when passing an exception for existing clinics. What are they all so afraid of? The Virginia pilot explained the regulatory fight over this law isn't over. It has to go through several more steps, including approval from the Republican governor, Bob McDowell. That's probably a shoo-in. The State Department of Health, a second vote from the State Board of Health, and final approval from the governor's administration before the regulation is finalized. Molly Vick, who heads a group designed to fight the anti-choice regulations, told the Virginia Pilot, the attorney general and the governor are clearly acting in concert to continue their long-time crusade to end access to abortions in Virginia. And there you have it. Why are they so worried about that when they really want to kill us all? That's what I don't understand. Okay, I saw the video on this, and I got to tell you, this man knew his rights. It was very clear he did nothing wrong, and I hope he sues the shit out of the police in Castleberry, Florida, where they tasered and handcuffed him after he refused to produce ID when they stopped him for jaywalking. Show me your papers. Officer tased Zacomo Purifoy. Can you guess what color he is? Three times before cuffing him and taking him into custody. But rather than apologize for using violence against a nonviolent suspect, the police said they're considering using the video for training purposes. I hope they use the video to put those cops in jail for the rest of their lives. Zacomo and his companion, Noel Price, were crossing a street in Castleberry, walking while black, while they were stopped by police. Price was also taken into custody, then released without charge, and she filmed the encounter with her phone. Officers demanded to see his ID, and he refused to comply. The confrontation rapidly escalated on the cop's side, with the cops repeatedly asking the officers to get their supervisors. I mean, where the girlfriend was asking, "We want your supervisor." The officers attempted to place him in handcuffs, but he refused, saying the request for his ID was not a lawful order. But he kept saying, "I am not resisting arrest. You are being recorded." That's what the girlfriend told the officers, with her voice rising as they all started getting angrier. And she shouts to her boyfriend, "Don't fight them. He's not resisting arrest." Before you know it, he's tasered and on the floor. Well, right after she says that, the officer holds the taser to his chest, fires the device. The guy screams in pain. Then he breaks free of the police, screaming, "This is assault. This is assault," which, of course, it was. Police used the taser at least two more times before taking him down and putting him in handcuffs. They found a firearm on him, which he was licensed to carry. The girlfriend was illegally carrying a handgun and brass knuckles, pepper spray, and a knife. I would say she probably needs it in Florida. When questioned over issues of excessive force in the encounter, Castleberry's police captain, David Del Rosso, said that he sees nothing wrong with the video and that he'd use it as an example of how to successfully deal with an uncooperative suspect. So if they ask you for your papers and you say that's an unlawful request, expect to get taken down in the land of the free. Well, here's a guy they couldn't take down, literally. Oh, my God, some of these stories are crack-ups. The TSA at San Francisco International Airport frisked New Yorker Jonah Falcon after noticing his very noticeable package when he went through security on July 9th. The guy said, and there's some dirty words in this, "It's my dick." That's what he told the Huffington Post, which says Falcon has the world's largest penis. "He gave me a pat down, but made sure to go around my penis with his hands. They even put some powder on my pants. Probably a test for explosives," he said. "I found it amusing." He said, "I'm just going to wear bike shorts from now on. That way they'll know." You think the San Francisco TSA would have had experience with hung guys before, but I guess not, he said. Perhaps most surprisingly, Huffington Post reported, the Guinness Books of World Records doesn't record such feats, but Falcon did show his standout feature to the executive editor of Huffington Post. Falcon has reportedly repeated that his penis is 9 inches long when flaccid and 13 and a half inches long while erect. His Twitter profile even describes him as actor-writer with the 13.5. He appeared in a 1999 HBO documentary that I guess the TSA missed called Private Dicks, Men Exposed. Allegedly, pornographic outlets contacted him about appearing in films, but he hasn't accepted. San Francisco's International Airport's TSA had no response to Huffington Post's request for a comment. So I guess those guys really don't know dick. There you go. I don't mean to laugh, but what a world we live in, my friends. Unbelievable. All right, this hype off of Newsmax, which I think is a Republican rag, but every now and then I like to see what they're printing, because they always on the hype side of let's kill everybody and start another war. Britain's MI6 chief warns that Iran is close to a bomb and predicts an Israeli attack. Well, who hasn't predicted that Israeli attack? The head of Britain's intelligence service said this week that Iran will acquire a nuclear weapon by 2014 at the latest. Remember what I talked about with Con Hallinan yesterday? And predicted Israel will likely strike before the Iranians acquire all the technologies they need. Sir John Sowers said it's equally clear that Israel and the United States would face huge dangers if Iran were to become a nuclear weapon state. Sort of like the dangers we pose to the whole world. Could that be the dangers he speak of? Okay, just say no to legal drugs. How many years have you heard me say this? American policymakers are considering putting a higher priority on reducing addiction at home for prescription painkillers rather than the cocaine smuggled across the Mexican border. America's drug problems is shifting from illicit substances like cocaine to abuse of prescription painkillers, a change that's forcing policymakers to re-examine the long, expensive strategy of trying to stop and useless illegal drugs from entering the U.S. The same sense that there's a need for a new approach was expressed last week by Governor Christie of New Jersey, who declared the war on drugs a failure that imprisons people who really need treatment. The Obama administration has ruled out drug legalization despite expanding support for the idea in Latin America, despite what everybody in America wants, too, while designating 60% of the federal anti-drug budget of $25 billion a year to supply-side efforts with 40% to demand, as it has for decades. Studies show that prescription painkillers and stimulants, to a lesser extent, are the nation's biggest drug problem. Woo, what a big news, big surprise. The same survey that identified 1.5 million cocaine users in 2010 found 7 million users of psychotherapeutics. Of the 36,450 overdose deaths in the United States in 2008, 20,044, the majority, involved a prescription drug, more than all illicit drugs combined. And how many people have died of marijuana or cannabis? Zero. And there you have it. Okay, let's get over to George Zimmerman when I get back. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Maria Heller, producer and host of The Maria Heller Show, now in its 12th year on the net. Thought I'd take this time between this excellent show to let you know that this show exists because of you, your subscriptions, and your generous donations. Won't you take a minute right now to get to your computer and get over to maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net, and make a donation or make the decision to support the real Fourth Estate without any corporate control, censorship, or annoying commercials for things you don't really need? In truth, everything you need to know to become a fully informed, healthy human being is right here on site. The best guests and real news. Unlike most, I truly believe that you can handle the truth. In days of lies, conspiracies, and a 24-hour fear machine, there is one safe place you can tune into for the real deal on what's going on in the world and how to enjoy your life despite it all. Maria.net. My mama used to say they broke the mold when I was born. Now let's get back to this amazing show.
Of course, she always added, thank God, when she said that. I wonder what she meant. Anyway, let's get over to George Zimmerman, killer of Trayvon Martin. Seems he's also a child molester and a liar. Not only did this guy lie, and his wife, about how much money they had with his bail, which already makes, to me, makes him guilty in everything. He apologized to the parents of Trayvon Martin this week, and they're not accepting his apology. But here's the latest on this guy. An Orlando woman has now told investigators that she was sexually abused as a child by George Zimmerman, who's now being charged with second-degree murder in the death of Trayvon Martin. I don't know why second degree. It was open fire. How could you miss it? So obviously he's not a very good person when it comes to integrity. And Chester, child molester. Okay, let's get over some more molesting bastards. This time the bankers with the Libor scandal. A former senior Barclays executive is now facing scrutiny in Parliament. Jerry Del Messier, a former senior Barclays executive, indicated that he had instructed bank employees to report lower Libor rates at the behest of regulators. Talk about the fox guarding the chicken hens. Meanwhile, what's going on with the IMFers? They seem to have, oops, we made a mistake, and now we're clipping the global growth forecast for 2013 to 3.9%. The fund left its 2012 outlook steady at 3.5%, though it warned that without greater action on the European debt crisis, its forecast might prove optimistic. Big time, I would say. Let's get over to the Persian Gulf, where we've been shooting on vessels, okay? A U.S. vessel opened fire on a boat off the coast of the United Arab Emirates in the Persian Gulf this week, killing at least one person, injuring three others. The victims, Indian fishermen. It wasn't immediately clear why the USNS Rappahannock attacked a small motorboat near the Dubai port. The firing has led to the death of one Indian national and serious injuries of three Indian nationals. He said that authorities in the United Arab Emirates are investigating the matter. I'm sure we'll pay them off and say, oops, she didn't mean to kill them, and we'll give you a dollar each for them. Okay, 12 NATO oil tankers were torched in eastern Afghanistan this week. Obviously, they don't get the hint. Taliban militants have attacked 12 NATO tankers carrying fuel for U.S.-led forces in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan officials said one driver was killed, four security guards injured, late Sunday when the militants set the tankers on fire in the Wardak province. Afghan officials blaming the Taliban for the attack. Well, a Taliban spokesperson claimed that the militants have destroyed 25 NATO tankers and killed several drivers as well as security guards, you know, mercenaries. Okay, they look like they're going to have nothing but problems at this Olympics, okay, and they're expecting even a strike of some of their security forces. They're going to have more security there than gamers, I'm sure, or people in attendance. I would suggest no one go. Let them spend all that money and no one show. South Wales police officers have been drafted to London now to help with the Olympic security crisis. Hello, you got missiles on building tops. You've got warships pointing at it. You've got more than 5,000 military personnel there. And they're worried about a security crisis. Hundreds of officers from 9 police forces, including South Wales, being drafted to fill the gaps in Olympic security left by under-fire firm G4S, alongside the extra 3,500 military personnel they've pulled out of, by the way, Afghanistan, to help with venue security. If you need all that security, you need to cancel that venue. Hundreds of officers are now being deployed in addition to the 3,500 servicemen and women who were called in last week. Let's get over to Tokyo and a huge protest. The news reported 100,000, and then another news had posted 170,000. It was wall-to-wall people. More than 100,000 anti-nuclear protesters marched through central Tokyo Monday to voice their opposition to atomic power, ratcheting up the pressure on under-fire Prime Minister Yoshihiki Noda. Protest organizers say 170,000 people turned out, closing one of Tokyo's main streets. Police estimated their number at 75,000. I told you, I always use the law of 3 or 10. Japanese people have grown wary of nuclear power since Fukushima, with surveys showing that about 70% want to abandon atomic energy immediately. Okay, lots of recalls in the news, and we don't mean remembrances. Let's start with Ford, who's got 2 major recalls going on, in case you're driving a Ford and they don't have a better idea. They're recalling more than 10,000 Escape crossovers because they're saying the carpet padding could interfere with braking. So they're recalling the redesigned 2013 Escape SUVs to fix the carpet padding. They say wrongly positioned carpet padding could reduce space around the pedals and cause drivers to hit the side of the brake pedal when switching from the accelerator. The automaker told the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration that dealers will remove the carpet padding and replace a console trim panel at no charge. And they say the recall covers over 8,000 vehicles in the United States, 2,000 in Canada, and a couple of hundred in Mexico. So you didn't escape if you're driving another Escape, because here's another recall. Ford now telling owners of one version of the brand new Ford Escape not to drive the SUVs until dealers can fix the fuel lines that can crack and spill gasoline, causing engine fires. How's all those cutbacks in American auto manufacturing working out for all these people? Imagine what it costs them every time they do a recall. This is going to be an expensive recall. They issued their unusual warning Thursday, said they're recalling the 2013 Escapes equipped with 1.6-liter four-cylinder engines. The dealers are going to pick them up and drop off a loaner car that you can use until the repairs are finished. So whatever they saved on American labor, they'll be paying and picking up and giving you a loaner. They're hoping to ship parts and get all of them repaired in the next 2 weeks. They've had 3 reports of fires so far, 2 at the factory and 1 while a customer was driving an Escape. Well, guess you can't escape that recall. All right. Now, you know I've told you about the TSA stopping you now, even if you have a drink that you bought after you've been all harassed at the airport on the inside of the airport. But obviously, while they're busy worrying about whether your toothpaste tube might be an ounce bigger than what's allowed, or the water you just bought to get on the plane might have something nasty in it, they're obviously not checking the food that comes in from the catering companies. So a whole series of people ended up biting into sandwiches this week that had needles in them. You know, needles, sewing needles. All right, and this time, Delta. One of the airline passengers who bit into a sandwich containing a 1-inch needle earlier this week has now been put on antiretroviral drugs used for the treatment of HIV. And they say the FBI is investigating the incident aboard 4 Delta Airlines flights as a criminal case. James Tungus says he was placed on the drug Truvada, which has recently been approved by the FDA following the incident, aboard a Delta flight from Amsterdam to Minneapolis-St. Paul. Half a dozen sewing needles have now been found in sandwiches on four separate Delta flights. And Mr. Tongues, who was sitting in his flight's business elite cabin, was unfortunate to have bitten into one of them. He and another passenger sustained minor injuries after biting into the sandwiches, and CPB officials found a third needle after confiscating the sandwiches. Dr. Jack Drode, a passenger that he coincidentally met, Tongues, aboard his flight over to Europe, also found a needle in his sandwich. Federal authorities, including the FBI, are investigating who had access to the food for flights originating out of Amsterdam's airport, bound for Minneapolis-St. Paul. Is this terrorism? The sandwiches were prepared in the kitchen of the Gate Gourmet Catering Company at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam. Now they've replaced the sandwiches off the flights and replaced them with pizzas, as if you can't have a needle on your pizza. Gate Gourmet operates in 28 countries and serves an average of 9,700 flights every day of the year and 300 million passengers annually. Think about what the caterers can do. You know, you got some guy working at a caterer for $8 an hour and, you know, some supposed terrorist comes along and says, hey, what will you do for me for $100,000? You can't check every sandwich that goes aboard a plane, said a former FBI special agent. He says this demonstrates to people who want to do bad things that this is a gaping hole. So eventually, I'm sure you'll have nothing you can have on the flight. You can't even bring your own food. And you can't take anything in from the airport, and you can't trust the caterers. Why is anybody still flying? Okay, court demands secret files on U.S. black jails torture. The United States facing fresh embarrassment, in case we don't have enough, over its use of black detention sites after the European Court of Human Rights ordered Poland to hand over secret documents about its role in the war on terror. Judges in Strasbourg have requested documents that contain details of how the CIA set up its extraordinary rendition center outside Warsaw in 2002, where it subjected al-Qaeda suspects to waterboarding, Dick Cheney, and other extreme interrogation techniques, George Bush. A month ago, a Polish whistleblower alleged that a document existed which allowed the setting up of the prison, including procedures to adopt in the event of an inmate's death. It was said to have been signed by the head of Polish intelligence. According to the leak, American officials laughed and refused to sign the document. They considered us amateurs and explained that this kind of business could not be dealt with by means of formal agreements. They laugh, and they still laugh. So let's get over to chains you can believe in. Lawyers for a Bagram detainees is seeking a habeas-like at Guantanamo. About 3,200 prisoners are being held at Bagram prison. Prisoners have been held without trial for years at an American air base in Afghanistan, and they shouldn't be able to challenge their indefinite detention with the help of the U.S. Constitution, according to the Obama administration attorneys. So there's their freedom and demonocracy. Reinforcing a hardline view that's prevailed in past court battles, the administration said again that the foreign-born detainees at Bagram Airfield lack the habeas corpus rights that the U.S. Supreme Court has extended to those held at Gitmo. And I just don't even understand that. Held for years without trial, without attorneys, without any evidence. And that's what we do. We now disappear people forever. All right, let's get over to, if we're so broke, why are we spending $12.5 million to set up a new radar station in Qatar? The U.S. constructing a missile defense radar station at a covert location in Qatar as part of the expansion of its military presence in the tiny Persian Gulf state. The Pentagon decided to set up the new radar station in Qatar since the country already hosts the Al Udeid Air Base, the largest U.S. air base in the region. It's estimated the construction of a pad for the radar, roads, barracks, and security measures at the site will cost $12.2 million taxpayer dollars. Well, Americans starve and they cut food stamps in America. Okay, Obama prejudiced the WikiLeaks accused, according to the attorneys, for private Manning. Comments by Barack Obama about the soldier accused of the biggest intel leak in U.S. history were prejudicial and sought to harm the suspect's defense. This according to what the court heard this week. Other top figures, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and retired Admiral Mike Mullen, who's the former head of the U.S. Joint Chief of Staff, also made ill-advised remarks about Private Bradley Manning. It was alleged in court on Tuesday by his civilian attorney, David Coombs, who I hope doesn't end up in jail, for defending him. Obama's comment that Manning broke the law, made at a political fundraiser in California last April, and other public statements were deliberately designed to inflict damage on the defense, said Bradley Manning's attorney at his pretrial hearing. How long has that kid been locked up and tortured? Okay, let's see what else. Hey, guess what? U.S. is going to be sending some of our security agents also to the Olympics. Foreign officials have been drafted to bolster the security at U.K. airports. They're going to bring our idiot TSA, who can't tell the difference from Dick and Dak, in the run-up to the Olympics. U.S. security agents are going to be based at Heathrow and some other U.K. airports for the duration of the Olympic Games. The Department for Transport's reached an agreement with the TSA for specialist agents to work at several U.K. airports. Why don't they just reincarnate some Nazis? This is an added security layer that's been done to help boost and aid the American airlines, in particular, that fly in and out of the likes of Heathrow and other airports. It's a total police state there. Why is anybody even going there? Okay, did you know there were two bogus bomb threats on the U.S.-Canadian border this week? A bogus bomb threat forced the closure of the Ambassador Bridge for several hours, the second threat to a major crossing connecting Detroit to Canada in recent days. Detroit police said a 9/11 call came in at 7:30 at night Monday to authorities on the U.S. side of the bridge that links Detroit with Windsor, Ontario. The caller said a bomb would go off in 10 minutes along the busy freight crossing, and of course it didn't. So I guess they like to give the powers that be a little fear every now and then, since that's all we get from them. Okay, let's get over to Fukushima. I've got a few reports on that today. It always amazes me when I see people on Facebook saying, how come nobody's covering Fukushima on the news? And I want to say, okay, I got 5,000 of you here. How come none of you are subscribed to my show? Duh. 36% of Fukushima children have abnormal growths from radiation exposure already. 36%, more than a third. Of more than 38,000 children tested from Fukushima, 36% have abnormal growths, cysts or nodules, on their thyroids a year after the Fukushima disaster. The shocking numbers come from the thyroid examination section of the sixth report of Fukushima Prefecture Health Management Survey, published by Fukushima Radioactive Contamination Symptoms Research and translated by the blog Fukushima Voice. 36% of those kids already have cancer. So look for Chernobyl on hyperspeed. Okay, let's get over to HSBC, which allegedly financed Al-Qaeda and made billions of dollars on illegal U.S. drug sales. And I'm sure that they're going to say, we didn't know. The result of the Senate's work 400-page report describes in exhaustive detail how HSBC Holdings executives repeatedly ignored warning signs from their own compliance officers and outside regulators, all of whom watched what they believed to be billions of dollars in suspicious transactions passing through the bank without adequate scrutiny. The report describes how HSBC's Mexican affiliate moved $7 billion in physical U.S. dollars, $7 billion, through the bank in a two-year stretch, raising red flags that the volume of dollars included proceeds from illegal drug sales in the United States, and they did nothing about it. They're all money launderers. What's the difference? It lays out how HSBC's executives ignored warnings that it was providing currency to a Saudi bank, alleged by some U.S. officials to be involved in financing Al-Qaeda. And you know that money goes to a lot of black ops from the CIA, Cocaine Import Agency. That's who they are. All right, New York and Connecticut attorney generals have joined forces to investigate the alleged manipulation of the LIBOR interest rates. The scandal's already being investigated by the U.S. Justice Department and financial regulators on both sides of the Atlantic. But the involvement of New York State is likely to ramp up the investigation. New York State's Martin Act gives its attorney general the most wide-ranging investigative powers of any state. Okay, this according to Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, he said, angry old white men are trying to buy elections. Really? Isn't that always the case? Harry Reid said a group of angry old white men, bankrolling conservative outside groups that are spending millions to influence the fall elections. He said if this flood of outside money continues the day after the election, 17 angry old white men will wake up and realize they've just bought the country. He said that's a sad commentary. About 60% or more of these outside group dollars are coming from just 17 people. These donors have something in common with their nominee. Like Mitt Romney, they believe they play by their own set of rules. Well, they don't even just believe it. They do, and they get away with it. So let's look at some Republican super PACs that donate millions for the general election. Restore Our Future, the super PAC affiliated with Mitt Romney's campaign, raised more than $20 million in June, and at least half of that $20 million came from just one couple. So is Harry Reid wrong? Absolutely not. And there you go. Still think your vote matters? Okay, if you're driving a Nissan, you've got a recall too. They're recalling 11,000 Jukes to find their to fix their rear seats. The company, excuse me, says a weak weld can cause the seat backs to come loose in a crash, increasing the risk of injury. The recall affects Jukes, J-U-K-E-S, from the 2012 model year. So far, they say they have no reports of injuries. The deal is supposedly going to notify owners and replace a faulty part that holds the seat back in place. And that recall starts later this month, which means you might be able to get killed before they recall it. Okay, fiscal crisis happening in the states in America will last beyond the slump, according to a new report. Long after the economy rebounds, states will face financial problems that include rising health care costs and underfunded pensions, this according to a task force of budget experts. Okay, the U.S. has now added companies and Syrian officials, of course, I'm sure we had something to do with the one that just got blown up, to the sanction list. Remember, as you learned yesterday, sanctions are war. Six companies with links to the regime of President Bashar al-Assad and 29 Syrian government officials were added to the United States list of those subject to sanctions. I wonder whose names ended up on Obama's kill list, too. Maybe Assad's brother-in-law that was blown to pieces. All right, let's get over to Bush the Idiot King, who still rears his stupid face every now and then, just in case we forget what Alfred E. Newman looked like. He did a recent interview where he fondly recalled his eight-year presidency as awesome. Awesome. Might have been awesome for you, but it was dastardly for the rest of the world. But he said he wasn't eager to get back into public life, which is a good thing, except for maybe a public hanging. He says, I really don't want to be in the public eye anymore. He was told this to Peter Robinson of the Hoover Institute. He said, look, 8 years was awesome. You know, I was famous and I was powerful, but I have no desire for fame and power anymore. I've found that life after the presidency is awesome. You're also an idiot, a one-world-order puppet, and destroyed the entire economy and started many illegal wars and lied about 9/11 and stole that election of 2000, just in case he forgot to mention that in his interview. Bush left office in 2009 with a 22% approval rate, one of history's least liked presidents. In all, 73% said they didn't approve of the way he ran the country for 8 years or did anything. So we don't want to see you either, so stay hidden, please. Okay, let's get over to two. It's not obesity per se, but here's another new report. Physical inactivity is killing 5 million people a year. One-third of the world's adults are physically inactive, and the couch potato lifestyle kills 5 million people every year. This was in The Lancet Medical Journal. Roughly 3 of every 10 individuals 15 years old or older, 1.5 billion people, do not reach present physical activity recommendations. They say the problem is a pandemic. The picture for adolescents, even worse, with 4 out of 5 13 to 15-year-olds not moving enough. I'm sure they're all moving their thumbs on their gadgets, but that's probably it. Physical inactivity was described for the study as failing to do 30 minutes of moderate physical activity 5 times a week, 20 minutes of vigorous activity 3 times a week, or a combination of the two. A second study comparing physical activity levels with population statistics on diseases like diabetes, heart problems, and cancer say the lack of exercise claimed more than 5.3 million of the 57 million deaths worldwide in 2008. It said inactivity was a risk factor comparable to smoking or obesity. Lack of exercise causes an estimated 6% of coronary heart disease, 7% of type 2 diabetes, and 10% of breast and colon cancer. Well, I'll be getting my physical activity in as soon as the show is done. But I can tell you this. I started in October with a new nutrition plan, eliminating carbs, working with a trainer, doing weightlifting 3 days a week, cardio for an hour 3 days a week, 300 sit-ups every day. And I'm not only healthier than I was before, if such a thing was possible, but my body also shed 32 pounds. So if I can do it, you can do it. And if you're going to do it and you are going to go to a gym, I strongly recommend you use a trainer at least the first month, 3 months, if you can afford it. Once you know what you're doing, just keep on doing it. The hardest part of working out is showing up. Okay, Romney suggested releasing his tax returns could be politically damaging. When I read that headline, the first thing I thought of was the Supreme Court picking George Bush, saying if they released the truth, it would be damaging to George Bush getting elected. Duh. The public will see just 2 years of returns and no more, said Mitt Romney, before appearing to admit that the records may contain something politically damaging. Maybe we need to press on John McCain because he got to see 10 years of his returns before he rejected him for vice president. Geoengineering actually in the news. Geoengineers are going to start a volcano-inspired experiment in risky climate manipulation. Two investigators continuing down the risky path of geoengineering by readying a field experiment involving spraying chemicals into the atmosphere that would theoretically bounce sunlight back into the air to cool the earth, according to The Guardian in the UK. Duh, this is chemtrails. They've been doing them in earnest since 1995, and now they're first talking about it like they might be doing it, might get started doing it. Double duh. Anyway, risk of geoengineering high. Pinning hopes on a technology fix to climate change may thwart greenhouse gas reduction efforts while doing nothing to change the paradigm that created climate change. One of the two Harvard engineers in the Fort Sumner, New Mexico experiment is David Keith, who's the manager of a multi-million dollar, pay attention, geoengineering research fund provided by Microsoft's founder, Bill Gates. Geoengineering, it's not enough that he wants to kill everybody with vaccines. He wants to kill us all with, he wants to own the weather too. Their idea is to mimic the planet cooling effects that happens when volcanoes release sulfates. Yet many say the risk is serious and potentially disastrous. Okay, mimic the planet's cooling effect. Isn't that what he did when he invented his micro crap computer? Pat Mooney, executive director of technology watchdog ETC, warned of the dangers. She said impacts include the potential for further damage to the ozone layer, disruption of rainfall, potentially threatening the food supplies of billions of people and do nothing to decrease levels of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere or halt ocean acidification, which I talked about with Britta Belli on Tuesday. And solar geoengineering is likely to increase the risk of climate-related international conflict, given that the modeling shows it poses greater risk to the global south. In June, scientists warned that large-scale engineering projects could reduce global rainfall by 5% and as much as 15% in areas of North America and Europe. Gee, could that be why we're in drought now? Climate engineering cannot be seen as a substitute for a policy pathway of mitigating climate change through the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, according to the scientists. They previously referred to geoengineering as a political strategy aimed at letting industrialized countries off the hook for their climate debt. And I'm going to post this link here so you can send it to all your friends who have said all these years that we're crazy talking about chemtrails and tell them to stuff it. Okay. Unchecked Pentagon spending is a threat to our national security. Congress is poised once again to sacrifice domestic security in the service of unnecessary wars and the profits of defense contractors. The FY 2013 Defense Appropriations Bill, which includes $519 billion for the Pentagon's base budget, no money for the states, and $88.5 billion for the war in Afghanistan, is expected to reach the House floor this week. That represents 57% of all federal appropriations for the coming year, all for that garbage, illegal wars, unnecessary illegal wars, and nothing for us. And there you go. What else is new? Okay, a logging company, Sierra Pacific Industries, agreed to pay the United States $122.5 million in damages to settle a lawsuit over a 2007 wildfire that was amongst the most devastating in California history. You know what? All that money's not going to bring back that forest. All right, let's get over to the Secret Service prostitution scandal. 9 uniformed military members were punished but not charged in the Secret Service prostitution scandal when Obama was in Colombia. Of the 9 who were given administrative punishments, 3 have asked for court-martials, which would provide them with a public trial to contest the decision. Military members have the right to turn down administrative punishments and seek a trial. A dozen Secret Service officers, agents, and supervisors were implicated in the scandal. 8 forced out of the agency, 3 were cleared of serious misconduct, and at least 2 employees are fighting to get their jobs back. I wonder how Abe Bolden feels about that. Okay, according to a judge this week, some guy got some real justice. The man who stripped down nude at an airport was found not guilty, Portland, Oregon. An Oregon man who stripped nude at Portland's airport security to protest what he saw as invasive methods was found not guilty of indecent exposure. Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge David Rees ruled Wednesday that John Brennan's act was one of protest and therefore protected speech. As Brennan left the stand, he said his protest was also intended to give the TSA an idea of the effects its policies have on travelers, especially the body scanners that produce images of passengers without clothes on. He said, I wanted to show them it's a two-way street. I don't like a naked picture of me being available. So good for him. Maybe remember how many years ago did I say we should all just show up naked at the airport? This guy actually got so disgusted with the harassment he went through, he just tore off all his clothes. Okay, U.S. sales of previously occupied homes dropped 5.4% this week, the lowest since October, in case you're thinking, yippee, that recovery's happening. And according to the union, the border staff at British airports are going to hold a strike July 26th, the day before the start of the Olympics, which might be why we're bringing our ignorant TSA schmucks over there. Okay, if you're a fan of Glenn Campbell, I did not know that he has Alzheimer's. He ended up canceling his Australia and New Zealand tour because his Alzheimer's disease is actually getting worse. He's 76. And doctors said the travel would be too much of a strain and detrimental to his health. Okay, last night I went to see the movie Ted. It's written by the same guys that do Family Guy and American Dad. And I got to tell you, it's a very weird movie. It's bizarre and it's hilarious. Mark Wahlberg is in it and Mila, I don't remember her last name, but it's... It's shockingly funny, okay, because you will be shocked by what you see and hear in it. So if you want to have a good time, it is rated R. Don't recommend it for kids. Go and see Ted this weekend, at least have a laugh. All right. Nobody's laughing in Japan. And think about this. A Japanese, let's go to Fukushima. A giant crane removed two fuel rods from Fukushima Wednesday. why would I say two and exaggerate it? That means nothing. It's a year later. They've taken out two fuel rods. Well, there are 1,535 of them in a spent fuel pool next to reactor number four. How long to take them out? Japan must eventually, they move all of them to safer storage. Nobody even knows how to store them, let alone safe, let alone have a place to store it. And they're saying it'll take till the end of next year, according to the government. Well, it'll take more like till the end of never. A year and a half after the disaster, the pool's cooling system's been fixed and reinforcements built, but TEPCO said the wall of the building is bulging, even though the pool hasn't tilted. Hiroshi Tasaka, nuclear engineer and professor at Tama University, advised the prime minister after the disaster, saying the spent fuel pool poses a danger because the building's not sufficiently secure to stop radiation escaping in the case of a strong aftershock. Well, they've had tens of thousands of aftershocks in the region, and a number of them 6 point and over. The two rods are amongst 204 that haven't been used to generate power, so they're not as prone to releasing radiation as the 1,331 spent fuel rods are, which are also sitting in the pool. So no hip hip hooray just yet for Fukushima. And there you have it. That's today's news. I want to thank you for subscribing to the show. Please encourage your friends to get a subscription, cancel their TV, and actually learn what's going on. And I'll see you guys on Monday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom, only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information, all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.